Hey friends, and welcome back to Musings with Meg, where you are joined by me, your host Meg, and we muse about life. Sorry, I don't really have a solid intro ever since I rebranded the podcast, but that's fine because, you know, the whole point of the rebrand was we just roll with it and we just hit record and see what the heck comes out of my mouth. But today, I'm excited, guys, to be sitting with you guys solo, sitting with you guys virtually, I guess. Whoever's on the other end listening, I appreciate you. And I wanted to share six things I've learned about friendships in the last couple years. And I did do a friendship episode at the end of 2021 as well. And that one was when I was at, like, almost the peak of my extroversion. In the title, literally said 93% extroverted. Like, that's when I did the Myers-Briggs test. I'm an ENFP, just so you know, and I tested 93% E, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy, but it totally, like, it makes so much sense, because I just, like, I go out every day, I always, like, I partied so much during that time, too. I was, like, partying probably every single week, and just seeing people all the time, and it's nice to do an updated episode now in April 2024, just over just over 2 years later. Like, because so much can change in just a 2 year time span. And I will say I have definitely changed in some ways as a person. And so that's why I'm excited to share some updated lessons. But I really do feel that the things I shared in that episode also still hold true a lot of the time, because fundamentally, I am a very people person and I absolutely love people, but I have learned new lessons that I'm excited to share with you guys. So yeah, let's get into it. But before we dive into it, guys, I need to give myself some credit here because, okay, just for the podcast in general, I need to remember to ask you guys, if you guys enjoy my episodes, please do consider just giving me a rating on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen. Consider subscribing, consider sharing it with a friend. I always forget to say that snippet and I realize that sometimes if I don't ask for it, I'm never going to get it, you know? And that's a lesson in relationships too, in friendships. If you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. Like, communicate, you know? So this me communicating to y'all. If you guys like my content and want to support anyway, please do consider giving me a rating, sharing, and subscribing. That would mean the entire world to me. So thank you. So let's dive into six things I learned about my friendships. The first one, and this is still consistent to 2021 messaging, is really, really, if you want to make new friends, if you're wondering where are them friends at, the only advice I can consistently always give is just be yourself. Like, it sounds so cheesy, but you got to be authentic. Like, don't ever feel like you have to fit yourself into a mold of what you think other people will want you to be. Like, let's say you're eyeing like a certain group of people and they have this certain aura to them. Like, they all wear a certain style of clothes, they talk a certain type of way, and they like those hobbies. The way to make friends is not to force yourself into that cookie cutter mold and make yourself, oh, suddenly adopt those habits, dress differently, suddenly start talking like them, because maybe if you do that, they'll like you and accept you into your group. Like, no, guys, that's like high school level thinking, right? I remember back in high school. Yeah, and that's okay. We were all teenagers back then. We were just literal kids. We did not have much of a sense of identity. So the way that we sought belonging was to try to fit ourselves into other groups of people and automatically molding our identities into what we thought was cool or accepted and so on and so forth. And that's perfectly okay. That worked back then. That was high school. But guess what, guys? You are most likely in your 20s. I personally just turned 26. We are more or less full-blown adults, and not to say we have to get everything figured out by this point, but it is to say that at this stage, you should have a pretty solid understanding of who you are as an individual, what your values are, what you care about, and that sense of self should be strong enough where you shouldn't need to inauthentically change who you are to fit into other groups of people. Because I'll be the first to tell you guys, and this is not coming from mean girl vibes, like, I don't want to be, I'm not like that, okay? But it is very clear when people are changing who they are because they want to fit in or be accepted. Like, I have seen it. I've been on the receiving end of it. It's inauthentic. That energy is not cool. I mean, not that you have to, like, be super cool or whatever. I just mean that energy, it doesn't feel good, because I can tell when people are not fully embodying and being themselves. I'd be like, oh, You really talk that way? Do you really dress like that? Is that what you really care about? Or is that just the way that you're acting and behaving just so you can fit into this group of people or just so you can be accepted by this group? Do not chase for validation in friendships, guys. Friendships, like, it's not a transactional thing. Don't go into making friends, the whole process of making friends, as I have to be a certain way so that I can be accepted by all these people, because that is exhausting. Don't do that. Like, the best advice I can give, just be yourself, like, fully, like, have such a strong sense of self, who you are, your values, what you like, what you will, you know, the standards you hold yourself up to, what you will accept in friendships, what you won't, and stay strong with those values, because nothing is more attractive than someone who has such a strong sense of self that they know how to set boundaries, they know how to filter out people that don't fit into their standards, and they are just radiating authenticity. Like, you know that the person that they're showing up as is fully them, and it is very apparent, the difference when someone's showing up as fully themselves versus someone is clearly putting on a facade or acting a certain way because they want to be accepted. The energy behind that is so different, and it is so apparent. Okay, so don't be the one pretending and trying to fit in. It's not gonna work. It's not even going to bring you the friendships that make you happy, because you're going to feel like you have to pretend all the time and you're always fighting for acceptance. Just be yourself and let friendships unfold naturally. Like, when you're authentically yourself, you put yourself out there, you're automatically going to be truly connecting with people that truly, truly do resonate with you and your values. And you will be able to also filter out people that don't resonate with you and your values. Have a super, super, super strong sense of self. Be yourself, be authentic, and put yourself out there. Don't force friendships. Don't chase validation or acceptance. Be yourself, put yourself out there. The right friendships will flow into your life as a result of that, okay? Okay, yeah, I got very passionate talking about that. It's because I've seen it, like, ugh! I don't like seeing the other thing happen. Like, it's just not pretty. And I care for you guys, okay? So just stay authentic. Second point, what triggers you in other people is a reflection of you. And this one I need to learn. Like, I think I am still learning, because I did get triggered by a lot of people about certain things, like, as we all do. We're all human, especially as we approach this adulthood and we got all these responsibilities, that we got job, we got taxes to pay, we got all these chores and stuff, and just our bandwidth of patience, automatically it'll get a little bit tighter. And that sucks, because then when the people in your life, like your friends, your family, there's certain things that they do repeatedly that end up just triggering you and just rubbing you the wrong way, maybe you're going to blow up, maybe you're going to, like, keep noticing it and holding on to resentment, and you're going to start feeling very, very, like, ugh, like, that person just pisses me off, and I don't want to see them again, I don't want to talk to them, I can't put my finger on it, but you just keep getting triggered. Getting triggered is not fun. We don't love that for us, okay? But this realization is freeing, A, and B, it's also humbling to turn it back on yourself, because when other people trigger you, what triggers you, it's a reflection of perhaps how you think of yourself. It's hard to accept, but let's say there's somebody in your life that triggers you all the time because they talk too loudly. Like, ugh. They're always so loud. They're always, like, the center of attention. Like, they're such an attention whore, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have all these scripts running your head saying they trigger you like crazy. Pause and simmer on those thoughts and think, why does this bother you so much? What is it about this fact that bothers you? Why is it not bothering other people? If other people are fine with it, if other people are vibing with this person, like, when they are talking, other people are listening, they're like, oh, this person's great, I'm going to go listen to what they have to say. And while you're out here getting triggered, where is that coming from? And it's not going to be a fun realization sometimes when you realize maybe it's jealousy. Maybe you're jealous. Or maybe you feel like you're also annoying sometimes and you talk a lot, and so you see that insecurity in someone else. It's called projecting. You project that onto someone else and you end up disliking them for it when it's actually something you dislike in yourself. You know, it's not super cut and dry, really simple to understand. But when you turn inwards, you'll often find some sometimes surprising realization about why it makes you feel the way you feel. Because, and this might get a little bit spiritual, but I think if you keep asking why, just keep peeling back the layers of why, you'll get to a really deep-rooted internal spiritual reason as to why that feeling came out in the first place. Because everything manifests as something. And a feeling of anger, of resentment, of annoyance, on the surface, you might say, hey, it's because they're loud, or it's because they're this way or that way, or because they, you know, why are they always winning? Why are they always doing that? Why are they always blah, 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 blah? Whatever it is about that person that triggers you, that is like a band-aid reason to why you're feeling annoyed. Take that feeling of annoyance, of resentment, of being triggered, peel it back and keep asking yourself, why does this bother you so much? Why is it bothering you? You know? Okay, that's like a big one that you guys should think about and reflect on, especially if there's someone in your life that's triggering you repeatedly. But the caveat here is also to say, it's not to say there's nothing wrong with being, sorry, let me reword that. It's not to say that everything wrong with other people is a reflection of something wrong with you. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying turn inward first. But there are obviously, of course, cases where there's something in other people that's triggering you, but it's also triggering a bunch of other people. And in general, you can see that they are the common denominator there, that they are the problem. That's very normal. That happens. There are some people that are just straight up toxic, okay? And it is important to discern from people that are actually straight up toxic and not good to have around in your life or just in your periphery in general, versus when a trait in other people triggers you and that's actually a reflection of something that you need to work on internally. There is definitely a difference. So I say take that and work with it, discern it. It's complicated, but I guess the whole point of this one is the next time you get triggered, really, really do think about why before you continue getting angry and upset and resentful and annoyed at this one trait in someone else. Ask yourself, why is this bugging you so much? Why? And, okay, if it is actually them being toxic and it is a them problem, by all means, distance yourself. Like, you don't have to keep that person in your life. The freedom, sorry, had a little lisp come out over there. The freedom in being an adult is nobody's telling you what to do, who to hang out with, who your friends are. If you don't like someone, just cut them out. Just snip, snip, cut them out. Don't hang out with them anymore. Don't respond to them. Obviously, if they were a close friend and you guys had a relationship, don't be a freaking savage and just block them out of nowhere. Try to communicate your needs first. And that actually goes on to my third point, which is setting boundaries and communicating can save friendships, right? And it also goes into my fourth point, which is that people naturally grow apart and it's not personal. Now, let me just combine these two points into like one long spiel because it's all very intermingled. Excuse me. As we grow up, especially in our 20s, everyone's just evolving in different directions. Like I said, we're all sort of finally figuring out our identities, what we really care about, what we value, and the dust is sort of settling in that front. And it's very natural to find that maybe the friends that you had back in high school or college, university, or just way back then, especially friends that you made and resonated with the most when you yourself were a very, very different person back then, those friendships might not be growing in the same direction that you are growing in, and that is nobody's fault. That is not your fault. That is not their fault. You don't need to like take any offense or beef to that. It's totally not personal. It's a reality of life that people will grow in different directions through life. And I think a real key in maintaining those friendships, of course, you don't have to maintain it to as strong of a degree as you used to because you've grown into different people, but to just maintain a foundational level of respect is to remember that it's not personal and it's natural for people to grow in different directions and just respect each other for it. Like, that's okay. Like, I think back to some of the friendships I had, of course, high school, early university, those friendships, right? I had back then. And back then, they were my closest friends. Like, we'd hang out all the time. We'd do a lot of the same things. We had very, very similar goals, very similar passions at the time. And maybe back then, because we were in college and had very common goals, like, hey, our goal was to get an internship, so we'll bond over the struggle of getting an internship. Or our goal was to, you know, or our common passion was, hey, let's study on weekdays and party on the weekends, because we didn't have as much time and money as we do now as adults to pursue more different hobbies. And that's perfectly okay. At that time, you resonated, and that's fine. And now, thinking of now, 2024, we're all, you know, a couple years out of graduation, we're all working big boy jobs, big girl jobs, and I have drifted a lot from some of those friends, but we don't have any beef. We just have utmost respect for each other. Just respect in knowing that we're in different stages of life. Maybe we'll catch up once a year, twice a year, and, you know, we're working different jobs. Maybe we have different values, different paths down exploring our faith, maybe. Different paths in what we deem enjoyable to do in our free time. And that is perfectly okay. Just because you grow into different people does not mean that you need to have beef against someone else or just cut them out completely, right? Just hold mutual respect and, you know, respect them from a distance. That's okay. And you know what I really appreciate about these friendships as well is that when we do our catch-ups, maybe it's once a year, twice a year, or maybe some once every 2 years, I always feel like my mind is open because we've grown into such different people that their lives are so drastically different from mine. And so when we catch up, I feel like I'm taking a glimpse into a completely different world that sometimes I forgot existed because I'm in my own bubble. So I still really, really, really deeply value those friendships. And I hope that with this point, you'll think about those friendships that maybe have grown apart from and realize that it doesn't mean you need to stop being friends. Just respect each other from a distance and, you know, keep it up. And who knows, in the future, you might grow back in the same direction and you might not. It's okay. You don't need to force any of these things. I think it's fun to just flow with life, and whichever direction you grow, you connect the most with the people that resonate with you the most at that point in time. And it's okay for some connections to naturally drift apart a little bit or come back or drift apart. Like, life is always ebbing and flowing, and that includes all the friendships you have flowing in and out of your life, right? So yeah, that's kind of a really nice and sort of peaceful, reassuring point, I would say. And yes, I was going to tie this into my third point about setting boundaries. And this ties into that because I feel that when friendships are automatically growing apart and you find that you've become maybe different people, you notice different values, and maybe sometimes the way that your old friend does things no longer resonates with you. Like, you can't agree with how they handle a situation, or you can't agree with their outlook on life anymore. And that's okay. You can respect them. But in the case where you're in that period of transition where you realize you're no longer really resonating, and maybe some things are pissing you off, maybe you're pissing them off, instead of being resentful and just thinking, oh, like, this person sucks, like, I'm just gonna freaking cut them out because it's draining my energy, like, think, like, take a step back and just communicate. Like, just communicate boundaries, communicate your needs, communicate your differences, because we're all adults now. We can take time to communicate our differences, and just by communicating, you can clear up a lot of potential misunderstanding. And this is something I also learned firsthand, because I have learned to become more confrontational. And not to say I've done it perfectly. I've definitely haven't. Some of my confrontations, they've really hurt feelings. I recognize that. Some ways I've done it in the past, I could have done better maybe. And sometimes I could have spoken up sooner to communicate my needs instead of thinking that my friend can read my mind, right? So it really is about communicating and having the talk to set boundaries. And I fully believe that if you learn to set the right boundaries and keep your friend at the right level of distance given where you are in your life, you can really, really, truly save a friendship. Because nothing is worse than trying to force a friendship to stay close when neither of you are resonating with each other half as much as you used to, and always fighting to the point where the resentment is so strong that it just explodes and you just got to stop being friends completely. Instead, by setting boundaries and creating the right amount of distance, you can definitely continue to respect each other and save a friendship. And that will really, that's really, like, helpful. Anyways, I don't know why I lost my words all of a sudden. Another point I want to make just about, like, boundaries and communication is to say it's really hard. Like I said, I have not done it perfectly before. But one tip that helped me, and I did have to reach out to a lot of friends for advice when it came to communicating and setting boundaries before as well, is to focus on communicating it as a way of like, how did something they did make you feel? Instead of pointing fingers and say that what they did was wrong or you disagree with that or blah, blah, blah. Don't go into it with the mindset of you're picking a fight and you're trying to prove you're right and they're wrong and creating a separation. The whole process of communicating boundaries and needs is that you guys, the two of you, you're on the same team and you are addressing this together as a team. And all you need to do is lay out your feelings, your stance, without saying you are better, they did you wrong, blah, blah, blah. And very importantly, taking the time to listen to them and hear their perspective and learn where are the differences. How did it make you feel? How did it make them feel? What could you have done better? What could they have done better in this whole process? Just having a very respectful, civil, peaceful conversation. And if after that conversation you realize that you guys have to distance from each other for a while, that is perfectly respectable and okay. It's all about just communicating your needs. And of course, it sounds like the right answer to say, hey, when you communicate your boundaries and set your needs, it'll save friendship. But it does not excuse, guys, when there are people that full-on disrespect your boundaries. People that disrespect your boundaries or are straight-up toxic, none of these things are an excuse to keep them in your life. You have full liberty over who you decide to keep in your life and who to cut out. And you have the power to discern what's worth fighting for and what's worth just completely letting go. So if you find there's someone in your life who, even after you've communicated the boundary, is repeatedly overstepping the boundary, obviously if they're doing it intentionally, that's pretty obvious. Cut them out. Like, why? You don't need to tolerate that, okay? But if it's in the case where you've communicated your boundary, but they are still disrespecting your boundary, but they probably don't even know they're disrespecting it. Like, they just have a general lack of awareness. And you find that you still have to keep telling them to stop, or you find yourself constantly bugging even though you've communicated. That is also a sign that, hey, like, you've done everything you could to salvage this. And if they really can't read the signs or develop more awareness, it's not your job to fix them. Like, don't put yourself in the position where you are responsible for fixing other people, right? If that's the case, distance yourself. Just distance yourself. Sometimes you don't need an explanation. And if they have enough awareness, they would understand where that's coming from. And if they don't, like, you've already tried your best, you've communicated, you don't need to feel too much of a sense of guilt for that, right? So I hope that helps. With that being said, I wanted to share the point number 4 out of 6 about friendships that I learned. And that is, don't be afraid to be the person that's bringing people together. And I think that's important, especially after we've graduated from university, college, and we're done school, we're all in our working jobs. Like, it is so hard. And I know I'm not just speaking for myself, to continue making new friends or maintain a strong community after you've left school, right? Because especially if you work a job where you're fully remote, or you don't have many colleagues that are your age, or there's anything like that, it's really easy to fall into this trap in adulthood where all you do is you go to work, you come home, you cook, you gym, you shower, you know, eat, go to bed, sleep, repeat. And before you know it, you're asking yourself, where the heck did all my friends go? Where's my community? Why am I feeling so lonely all of a sudden? I think maintaining friendships in adulthood, it takes intentional effort. It really does take effort. It doesn't just flow naturally like it did in school, where it was the norm to always be surrounded by people, doing things in clubs, going to events, having a group of friends to explore different hobbies with. In school, community was like, it was just there. And outside of school, if you don't make that effort to maintain those friendships, it's not going to be there. You got to make the effort. And which is why I think the point of being the person to bring people together is important, because I personally love doing that. I love hosting things. Love. Okay. Tangent. Can I toot my horn a little bit? Just a little bit right here? This is kind of random, but it's really cool. Okay. So I like having birthday parties. I've had three larger birthday parties now at this point. When I was 22, I had one, 25 when I had one, and 26. And these are all larger ones where there were more than 60 people showing up. I mean, for my 25th, it was crazy. There was like over 100 people. I don't know if I'll have one that big ever again, to be completely honest, until like my wedding, and that's fine. But the flex is that at these parties, not only did a lot of my friends end up meeting each other and developing a lot of new meaningful friendships, the coolest thing, guys, is two successful couples have come out of my birthday parties, okay? One came out of my 22nd birthday. Two of my friends from completely separate parts of my life met, and they have been dating ever since. And I bet you they're getting married, okay? And more recent one, too. And I turned 26. I had my birthday party in Vancouver. Again, two of my friends from very separate parts of my life met. I never even thought they would meet. I never thought to introduce them, but alas, they met. And guess the frick what? They're dating now. Like, I'm out here screaming. And I'm like, guys, I bet you guys are going to get married. I'm just out here playing Cupid without even actively putting my hands there. Like, I did not force these people to meet whatsoever. But the fact that they showed up to celebrate my birthday and meet my other friends and stuff and automatically met each other, and now they found, I hope to say, the love of their life. Like, isn't that insane? But just to have this realization that if I never hosted these parties, let alone like the smaller gatherings I like to host as well, like, these people never would have met. What? Like, like, it's crazy, okay? Anyways, that's just like a side note. I just thought it was really, really, really cool. And I will also say it is scary hosting. When I first started hosting parties, I was terrified. I was like, oh my gosh, are people gonna have fun? Like, what if, you know, there's damage that happens? What if people don't have fun? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I had hella anxiety. I had so many nightmares before my first party. And now it's just like, it's just bringing people together. That's it. And people always, always do appreciate these things. And I have a couple other close friends as well that like hosting events, like a themed night, like a Taylor Swift night, or, you know, a little Halloween thing, or just like a watch party for something. And I always really, really appreciate people that take the initiative to host events and bring people together, because I think in adulthood, that is like one of the best ways to just keep the community alive, like keep having people meet each other, meeting other new people. Because I will say, like, a lot of my best friends I met through other friends. Like, most of my friends I met through mutual friends. I met at a party. I met at this event, so on and so forth. And I have so much gratitude for people that take initiative to bring people together. And I also will strive to continue being that person as well for my friends. And my friends have expressed a lot of gratitude to me for bringing people together as well. And that, like, really, really, really warms my heart and is something that really fulfills me. So, yeah. Of course, this resonates probably more with those of you that are extroverted. Like, if you're an introvert, you listen to this, you're like, ugh! Like, Meg, come on. Like, I'm not going to host a party. What the fuck am I going to do? Like, that's okay. Like, I'm not saying everyone has to, but if you ever have a curiosity about, like, even an inkling that you want to introduce certain friends to each other or host a little something something, I would urge you to maybe push yourself out of your comfort zone and just give it a try and see how it feels, because it could be honestly one of the most fulfilling things ever. Like, one of my close friends in Vancouver recently, actually two of them, co-hosted like International Women's Day dinner, and I thought that was so, so amazing, right? Just be that person to host. Like, inner twins, I don't know about y'all too. I'm not a big fan of going out and partying and clubbing all the time anymore. That was like 2021 Meg, okay? I'm not a big fan of that anymore. I much prefer more intimate gatherings and hangouts, like house parties, like little themed events, you know, charcuterie board night, you know, a themed night, karaoke night, anything like that, count me in. I love those, where you're bonding with like-minded people over a similar interest or a fun activity or a new hobby. Count me in. I absolutely, absolutely love those. And I think in adulthood, those events are some of the best ways to stay in touch with your friends, as well as meet new friends. And of course, to bring people together. So be that person, bring people together, initiate things. And this is like a side piece of advice, like, that wasn't officially on my list, but to the, especially the introverts that, out there that are like, oh, I don't want to host parties. Maybe the little nudge I would give is if you feel like you miss someone, just send them a message and reach out and be like, hey, I miss you. I've been thinking of you. Would you like to catch up sometime? And this applies to everyone, not just introverts. It applies to everyone. And this actually ties really well with my final point in this podcast episode, is that people and connection are everything. Like, it's so important in our lives to keep up a sense of community and connection and feel a sense of belonging and security and to feel loved and supported. It doesn't mean you have to have like a million friends. That's not a prerequisite for that. You can have one or two really freaking solid friends, and that's all you need. I'm not here to define how many friends you have. It's not about quantity. I think we all know that. It's truly about the quality and feeling like you have people to confide in, people to do things with, people to try new things with, people to talk to on a day-to-day basis, people to tell about your day, about a problem you might be going through, about something new that excites you. Just people to connect with, whether it be your family, or new friendships, or maybe your relationship, your partner, if you're in a relationship. Whatever it is, connection is so important. And this is especially a huge point because I recently listened to an episode from the Mel Robbins podcast. I'm just going to pull it up because I highly recommend you guys listening to it as well. It is her episode released on... Is the episode released today, April 4th, titled What Makes a Good Life? Lessons from the Longest Study on Happiness. And guess what, guys? What makes a good life? It's not the money you make. It's not how much money you have. It's not how many houses you own. It's not how great your job is. It's not even the impact you make on the world, even though that is a very good guess. It's your relationships, the connections you have, the people. That's what makes a good life. Like, they basically followed all these people throughout their entire lives and studied them and interviewed them and learned about their lifestyles and the people they're connected with and what they do for work and everything. And the common denominator and biggest finding is that people who live the longest, happiest lives are the ones with the most meaningful connections in their lives. And if that's not proof enough in the pudding to say, invest in your friendships, guys, invest in your people, express your gratitude and love for the people around you. Really, really, really invest in your connections. If that's not enough proof, I don't know what is. Okay. And that's what I'll close this episode on today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And if you had any strong takeaways from this episode, do hit me up. I always, always love to hear from you guys. Hit me up on Instagram at musings.with.meg to share with me what you learned and any thoughts that you have around this episode. And if you think there was any advice that I might have missed and you wanted to share that with me as well, absolutely feel free to. My DMs are open for that too. And like I said earlier in the episode, if you enjoy my content, please do consider giving me a rating on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen, subscribing, and it'll mean the absolute world to me if you share this episode with one of your friends today. Because that's a way that you can foster connection, right? By sharing by sharing something that you listened to that you resonated with, so that you can, like, you know, share in like a deep conversation about a topic, you know, and then you guys can like strengthen your friendship together, you know? So go share this episode with a friend today, and I'll love you a million for that. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and I hope you guys have an amazing day. Bye.